the biggie, which people probably seen if they've looked up, like what's going on with my belly fat, is stress.
Yep.
So this is a vicious cycle, because the more stressed you are, the more you're likely to eat foods mm-hmm. that are conducive to putting on weight. The more you put on weight, the more stressed you are, and so on.
It's a vicious cycle. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's stress, learning to manage your stress and being self-aware enough to know how to manage your stress is, you know, your emotional and stress management is probably up there with like one of the key things or one of the key traits that you need to be a healthy individual. If you don't have a way of blowing off steam in a healthy way, or managing your stress levels and keeping yourself in a quote unquote more stable place, and you're kind of being more emotionally reactive and stressed all the time, and then your lifestyle doesn't support that either. Maybe poor sleep, too much coffee, lots of sugar, alcohol. You know, you are just in this vicious cycle that is so hard to break, mm-hmm. like so hard to break.
And all of those factors that you just mentioned, like coffee, poor sleep, alcohol, they all contribute to further drive up cortisol, which mm-hmm. is the stress, one of the stress hormones that is linked with belly fat. And so the more you have high cortisol, the more body fat you store, slower your metabolism is. You actually even start to break down more muscle, which then slows your metabolism even more.
Yeah.
That then affects your thyroid. Mm-hmm. So there's like this cascade, as I said, that it can feel really hard to get out of. And chronic stress makes more fat, and fat in itself makes more cortisol, mm-hmm. which is like a mind-blowing fact I learned when I was researching this episode. It's not just you're stressed because you're getting fatter and you don't like it. Like, you genuinely produce more cortisol because you have more fat cells. So it can feel like this stuck situation that you have no power about, but that's not true.
That is not true. There are many steps that you can take. And, you know, this is sometimes where, you know, for at least what I've seen, where people are just like morbidly obese, or even just obese or overweight. Like, when you just lose like 10, 20 pounds, like all your health markers go up, all your hormones start to regulate more because you're carrying less body fat. And often, not always, because people can lose weight in unhealthy ways, but often people are taking healthier steps to lose weight as well. And that just has a cascade effect in the other direction, in terms of overall, everything starts to get healthier.
Yeah. And the great thing with stress management techniques, if you could implement them in your life, is they often help support other things to do with fat loss. So if going for a walk helps you just like let go of the day's work, that's also going to help your NEAT. If you start to realize that,
what NEAT is,
oh, go on then.
NEAT is your non-exercise activity thermogenesis. It's a fancy word for just, you know, your non-planned exercise. But yeah, it makes up a big part of your metabolism and how many calories we burn.
Yeah, and I think after COVID, so many people realized they were going out for their one walk because they were allowed to go for one walk.
Yeah, crazy.
And then they were like, oh, it's actually like quite vital to my mental health.
Yeah.
And they would never have maybe chosen to go for a walk for mental health before. Mm-hmm. And so it starts to highlight like these things you're doing for your stress management actually contribute to your physical health and vice versa.
What do you do for your like stress management?
So I do like to go for a walk. Mm-hmm. I love to get on my yoga mat and have a stretch. It's mm-hmm. a little bit challenging to have like a nice full hour session now because I've got a toddler. But even if it's just like, often I'll just get on the floor in the kitchen and he's running around and I'll just do a couple of stretches. Mm-hmm. Most people find they hold stress in like certain parts of their body. So for me, it's like my shoulders and my chest. And so if I can get some like nice chest opening and stabilization, mm-hmm. that really helps me instantly feel better. Some people, it might be their hips. Some people, it's their lower back. Mm-hmm. And actually, like my other half, he, as soon as he's getting really stressed at work, his back goes. He says, my back goes, you know, nothing goes anywhere.
The quotation mark, yeah.
I am being sympathetic, but nothing goes anywhere. Yeah. But it's like an embodiment of stress. Mm-hmm. So being able to be aware of like, this is my physical response to stress is one step, because you can start to notice before you have that cascade of negative impacts. And then knowing, right, okay, it shows up in my back, right? These are the things that help my back release, and implementing those quickly. Mm-hmm. So wherever you're at with your stress levels, there's probably a little trigger that you could tune into to physically notice, oh, I'm starting to get a bit stressed out right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's having that awareness, and even just understanding like what does trigger you. Have you got certain people in your life, certain family members, certain colleagues, you know, certain parts of your home life that do trigger you? And, you know, if you want to change that outcome. It's being aware of it is the first step. Mm-hmm. And then it's just starting to try different things to be like, hey, I don't really like how I feel after that situation. I don't really like how I've reacted to that situation. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking for a different route or a different way to, you know, feel better after that situation. So your emotional management is just an overall healthier place.
Yeah, and I think you touched on a good point there, because it's not always about going for a walk or doing yoga or doing a workout, because that isn't always practical.
Or possible.
No. Yeah. But being able to find maybe less physical ways to manage stress is really helpful. I read a really interesting quote the other day. I don't actually know if this is true.
We got our fuck man anyway. So.
Yeah. So apparently when your brain is in gratitude or practicing gratitude, mm-hmm. it can't also be in anxiety or stress. So I don't know if that's true, but I like the concept.
Sounds nice.
It sounds nice. But it is kind of like, if you are stressed out, it is taking you into a different thought process. If you go, do you know what? I know I'm stressed right now, but I'm just going to sit here and think of three things I'm grateful for. Mm-hmm. On a level, it makes sense that that's going to take you out of this reactive, like stressed, high-powered zone into like a reflective, calmer, happier zone, because you're thinking about things that make you happier.
Yeah.
So even if that's like, maybe not scientifically correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's actually still something that you could do in the moment. Mm.
Yeah. Oh, what have we got here? So studies have shown that gratitude reduces anxiety, depression too, in part by optimizing the functioning of the... We should definitely get you to read these days.
Okay, shall I?
The autonomic nervous system, and as well as the same neurotransmitters involved in anxiety. The brain can't respond to anxiety and gratitude at the same time, which means it's one or the other.
There you go.
Very nice.
Yeah. Internet says it's true.
The internet says it's true. It must be true. I mean, there's, you know, practicing gratitude is always a great place to be, because you're focusing on what you have and not what you don't have, or being reactive around the situation. So I think that's always, you know, there's just that like fallacy, isn't it? Where people are always like, I'll be happy when, you know, and it's just like, oh, they've got this, so they're better than me. And it's, you know, I think when you're doing that a lot, it definitely puts you in a place of just comparison, instead of just being like, you know what? What have I got? What have I got to be mm-hmm. grateful for today? And it definitely can, it definitely helps me.
It does. And I think a lot of people might assume that to deal with their stress, they need to take big steps. They need to start meditating, or they need to start going for a run every morning. But the science shows it can be small things that add up. And these can just be subtle shifts of thought processes that don't take a whole bunch of time, don't actually take a whole bunch of effort. It's just a reminder in your phone, maybe. Mm-hmm. And you can start to take control of something that then has those effects on not just your headspace, but your belly fat, right?
Yeah, definitely. Have you got any other like little quirky things that you do? I've started doing one that I actually got off Andrew Huberman, which is this, and sorry, we have got off Ackman again. So I can back me up on this. It's a double nostril breathe. So you take a big, like, and then an exhale. And it's I think a couple of them, like literally like lowers your heart rate, lowers your blood pressure. And I found like, if I'm ever in like a stressful situation and I'm about to go into like a new, so say I've been in work and I'm going home, or if I've being in a meeting and I'm going into a different meeting, sometimes I will just do a couple of those breaths, like prime my mind around like, just relax, like relax. I'll even just keep saying that to myself, so that I don't bring sometimes that same energy that's maybe experiencing something highly stressful into that like next place that I'm going. And I found that's like a very easy, you know, not like I've not got to go for a workout, I've not got to go and get like an ice bath, you know, something that I would normally do to like de-stress to an extent. It's like a really easy, quick like state changer.
Yeah, it's like a bite size. Yeah. Stress management thing. Yeah. And there's so much behind breath regulation for stress. So obviously my background is in yoga, and pranayama. A lot of it is to do with managing your stress, managing your autonomic nervous system. So by controlling your breath, you have a positive impact on your nervous system. Similarly, when you are stressed, you naturally breathe differently because your body's preparing to go run away or fight. Yeah. So it's doing the physiological things to get you ready for that. And it's a two-way process. Mm-hmm. So I was actually talking to my brother about this one the other day, because he went to yoga class. They said, now just breathe in through your left nostril and out through your right. And he was like, what kind of ninja level yoga is this?
And I was literally thinking like, I could not do that.
And I was like, no, you have to actually put your finger over. Right, there you go. And he was like, yeah, I figured that when I opened my eyes and saw everyone else was doing it.
Yeah, that would be some control.
Yeah. But there's a lot of different pranayama breath techniques which are designed to sort of calm that nervous system down. And they are backed by science. It's
what's the say? Go on.
The physiological sigh or cyclic sighing, which is what you were describing, can be done anywhere and cost nothing. If you're feeling rattled, take two sharp inhales of breath, typically through the nose, followed by an extended exhale through the mouth. And actually, when it comes to the science of why that works, it's the exhale.
Okay.
So the exhale signifies to your body, like, okay, like we can let go.
Yeah.
And it's easier to take a big, long, calm exhale when you've changed the state of your inhale.
Right. Okay.
And another cool thing is when you create a big exhale, you create a vacuum in your body. Mm-hmm. So the more you exhale, the easier it is to take a big inhale. And it just becomes like this nice big cycle of breath.
Yeah.
So if you find yourself in a short breath situation where you realize I'm actually on a bit on edge and I've become shallow breathing, and that's like one of the stages towards being stressed, break that cycle. Whether it's sighing, whether it's like singing is a really good one, because you have to take a deep breath in and then belt out a big song.
Just get your favorite tunes on.
Yeah. So anything that's going to make you have a big, powerful exhale.
Yeah.
And then that's going to reset your cycle of breath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. So those are things that are little snippets. Obviously, we would also recommend like regular kind of maintenance stress management. So these are things that you could do in the moment.
They're little things that you can do in the moment, which definitely help. They're almost like little hacks, aren't they, to an extent? Yeah, some people don't like that word, but
But the best thing to do is to prevent yourself getting there in the first place.
Of course. And like, it's if you can have your environment set up so you're that you avoid, it's impossible to completely get rid of all these sort of situations. It's part of life, isn't it, to an extent? But if your environment's set up where, you know, you are in a more healthy workplace where, you know, you aren't being triggered all the time by people left, right, and center, which it always, again, isn't the case. And then the other part is that I almost just like see it like it's like filling your cup back up. So, you know, making sure that you're getting great sleep or prioritizing sleep. Great sleep isn't always an option, but prioritizing sleep to get the best that you can in the situation that you're in or the season of life that you're in. Making sure you regularly exercise. And, you know, for me, that's a huge way of just like blowing off steam. I can feel like I'm at like 99 out of 100 in terms of stress. I go to bed, I get up in the morning, I do a hard workout, and then I'm like fine again. Like the world is right and sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah. You know. But there is worth mentioning that exercise, if you overtrain, can also be a stressor on your body.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's something that, particularly in the context of managing belly fat, it can be tempting to be like, well, I'm just not working out enough. Right? I'm going to do an extra hour of cardio every day because that will make the belly fat go.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, if you're also struggling with increased stress in other parts of your life, you add an extra hour of exercise every day. You don't increase your recovery to match that. You're probably contributing to the problem more than helping.
Yeah, it's again about it's understanding that tipping scale and knowing where you need to maybe pour, how you need to pour but more back into you. So if you're sleeping 5 hours a night and, you know, you are looking to get up an hour earlier to get an exercise session in and then do a HIIT workout, you know, you probably would have been better getting that extra hour in bed and maybe just trying to go for a long walk at lunch or something instead. Like, that's going to save you a lot more instead of always putting that consistent pressure on you to exercise. So, yeah, it is having that awareness of, like, what is putting, like, that physical pressure and stress on your body, mental and physical, and also, like, how you personally react to relieving that.
Yeah, and that's what it all comes down to, right? What's your body react like? Mm-hmm. What's a balanced workout routine for you?
Yeah.
And what actually makes you feel better, not you're doing it because you think it's going to fix this problem.
Mm-hmm.
So cortisol is a biggie, and I think it's something that people often, they think it's BS and they think, oh yeah, that's just an excuse that people come up with, but it underlies so many of our choices as well. Even if we discount the physiological impacts that cortisol has on our body fat distribution, the impacts on our choices and our habits when we're stressed are huge.